when you're sitting in a meeting and you're reviewing a PRFAQ, how do you provide the most value possible? If you are invited to that meeting, you should represent your role, not someone else's role. So if you are an engineer and you're providing feedback on the design or the user experience, it's not as useful as an engineer providing feedback as an engineer.
Welcome to the How Leaders Think podcast, the show that transforms you by renewing your mind and giving you new ways to think. I am your host, Kenny Lang, and with me today is the Marcello Calbucci, which is probably one of the top three coolest names that we've had on the show. We should get a t-shirt for you, Marcello. I think we'll work on that, and we'll sell that. It'll be in the show notes. He is the author, founder, and product leader in a space with a super cool title. I'm trying to convince him to change how he pronounces it, but the PRFAQ framework, which is also the name of his book. He previously worked at Amazon as a director of product, so you know he knows his stuff, and technology at Microsoft, which even though I'm an Apple fanboy, that's still pretty cool. He's also founded many startups in Seattle and London, so you know he likes the rain. Welcome to the show, Marcello.
Thank you for having me, Kenny, and the rain does not bother me.
You probably have like a collection of really cool umbrellas. It's just like from one rainy place to another rainy place. If the sun pops out, does that scare you? What's that fire doing in the sky? Or is it just...
Yes, there is a rule in Seattle. People that live in Seattle should not have umbrellas. Only the tourists have umbrellas.
Oh, really separate. Okay.
Yeah, we know how to navigate the city in the rain.
Something that's it's always been interesting is it seems like if you walk through the rain, you would get rained on more than if you run. But every time I run through the rain, I feel like I get more wet. And I'm sure that there's probably some Seattle super secret science you could drop on us to explain that. But that isn't why you're here. But do tell me, Marcello, what is on your mind?
Yeah, so I wrote the PRFAQ framework book and released it just a few weeks ago. So it's very fresh. And really what I was trying to solve is the problem where many organizations and executives and product leaders and inventors have, which is the lack of strategy and vision and clarity and alignment on what they're trying to do and working with other people. So that is top of mind for me. And I'm going around evangelizing this framework and this idea.
As you should. And you were very kind to let me have a download copy and go through some of it and just being able to skim it. I was like, oh, I need to probably like print or find something to like digitally highlight some of this stuff, even for myself. And I'm not even in the product space. I'm in the service space. But I'm curious, Marcello, anytime anybody writes a book, right, you're contributing, there we go, to thought processes, you're noticing something's missing from the vast catalog of knowledge out there. What was the current thinking or the prevailing wisdom that the PRFAQ framework is meant to challenge or improve upon?
Yeah, I wouldn't say my book has a lot of inventions on itself, right? Mm. I am recombining ideas that already existed in something that is more usable for founders and product leaders and executives everywhere, right? So the idea came from, I spent 18 years building startups, founding startups, running startups. So that was my world. And then I joined Amazon, which is not a startup by any metric, right? It's an enormous organization.
Yeah.
And Amazon had invented this framework called the PRFAQ for themselves, for them to make decisions on like what ideas to pursue and what ideas not to pursue. And I was fascinated by it. And I felt, wow, like founders and product leaders everywhere could benefit from it. So when I left Amazon, I was like, I'm going to write a book about this, so more people can understand how to use that. And by the way, you mentioned on the services business, it is also applicable to services business. It's applicable for programs that you want to create, for changes in process that you want to do. It's a way to really think critically about a problem and a solution, regardless of what shape that solution takes. Gotcha. And then debate with other people and decide on a vision and a strategy, right? So the writing helps you think critically and create this narrative that gives you the confidence, should we go in this direction or should we not go in this direction?
So that part, and I think anybody who just sees the title of the book or the name of the framework, they're like, PR, FAQ. Okay. Those are things that happen after something's already been decided, something's already been released, right? Like we go to Amazon and what do? We drop down to the reviews, but they also have that FAQ section that's sort of customer and seller answered and curated. PR is only used when we've got some big announcement, we got a big release already. And so I think on the surface, or maybe even intuitively, I and others may be inclined to think this is really good after I've decided, but it sounds like you're using it on the front end. So yes. Can you talk a little bit about how is something like PR, public relations, or frequently asked questions, because what the hell are you asking if something doesn't exist already? How are those things being leveraged at Amazon or in any updates you've made to the model to decide early on how to make better strategic decisions? Because I think that's really interesting.
Yeah, exactly. So one thing I forgot to mention is PRFAQ stands for press release and frequently asked questions, right? So the press release is not a press release that you actually send to the press at all. It's not a marketing tool. It's a decision tool. So you write the press release as if what you were thinking about doing already existed. So that helps ground the people that are contributing with you and collaborating with you, reading that and say, is this something that we want to bring to the world or not, right?
Gotcha.
So imagine that you're going to launch a service 6 months from now. You would write a press release as if 6 months from now is today. And you write, today we are launching this service that's going to help, you know, customers do X. They had this problem. This is how they got started. So you make it as if it existed already, right? And then you have a series of frequently asked questions that helps understand the feasibility, the viability, the value of the project, the cost, the problem, the customer, the pricing, everything like that. So that is your framework to discuss strategy and vision. So there is nothing there yet. This is what we should be doing on the first 2 weeks of a project before you even start working on the project.
So this really is in that ideation sort of dreaming phase. If you're talking to entrepreneurs, I got a feeling in my gut or something in my head. I got to get it out. What does that final vision look like? You're excited. You're proud to talk about it, evangelize it. So you write your press release. And does that exercise, that practice, is that really about helping clarify your own thoughts, your expectations, maybe not just for yourself, but also for the team members that are also a part of the project? Like what is, not, I hate saying devil's advocate, he's got enough advocates, but let's say like I'm the CEO or I'm the founder or I'm the senior executive in the room or something like that. And I'm working with people on a project. Wouldn't I just come in and say, hey, this is the project we're working on. We need to iron out some details and build a project map and get this into our project management tool and just get rolling. But it sounds like you would slow some things down. What is that doing for everybody apart from just, here's the final thing we're building, right? Here's the specs. What is that doing for people?
Yeah, that's a great question. And you hit the nail on the head here. What does a PRFAQ do for a project or an organization or an executive? The first thing is when you write your thoughts, it helps not only clarify what you're talking about, but also identify the gaps on the story, right? So you might be writing and, oh, wait a second, I don't know about this. Maybe I should go out there and do some research. So I'm going to give you a concrete example. Maybe you have an idea to build a new product for veterinarians, right? And like you had an idea. And then as you're writing about this new product, wait a second, but we haven't talked with any veterinarians yet. Maybe we should talk with them and get their feedback about a few things. And then you go back and you incorporate that into the document. So you're creating this coherent story that at the end is clear, right? It might not be right because you don't know if it is right or not until you go out there and build and launch the product or the service or the program, but at least it's coherent, right? And then use that to talk with other people in your team, executives, your peers, you know, the people that are going to implement in this, so they can provide input as well. So it's much easier to provide input in a document than to provide input in a project, right? Because you are like halfway there already. And this document is very much focused on the why are we doing this and what are the strategy. And I want you to think about strategy as the boundaries that you're going to put on this project. Like it could be the geographic boundaries, technology boundaries, the go-to-market boundaries. So you're making some hard choices about how we're going to go about building this and launching this, right? How our customers are going to find and everything else. So you keep the conversation there and people can provide feedback and say, wait a second, I don't think we can do that in 6 months. Or someone might say, to do that thing, we need this data, which we don't have today. So we're going to have to adjust it a little bit. So you're like getting feedback from a bunch of people and continue updating the document until you get to a point that you have the clarity necessary to make a go, no-go decision. And usually it's not only, is this document good enough? Is this project good enough for us to pursue? If compared to everything else that we want to do, right? Is this the right one to do it now?
Gotcha. Yeah. Amongst all of our competing priorities and attentions and resources and things. So I really like this because I think that there's a nugget, if anybody wants to go back and clip it, record it, or just re-listen to it, about number one, I like the idea of coherence, right? There's a, I forgot, it's Fisher's narrative paradigm. So I'm getting really nerdy on communication theories right now, but literally it's the only thing I can do with my degree in speech communication. So I'm just trying to make my dad proud. But he had two things when he talked about narratives whenever we communicate is you have narrative coherence and narrative fidelity. Like, does it hang together and does it ring true? And so coherence is, does it hang together, right? And then the fidelity is, does it ring true to your experience or some sort of objective truth or data or something that we could measure? And so what I hear you saying is, look, we don't have to know everything on the front end. Nobody ever does, right? There's imagined tasks and then there's discovered tasks once you actually get into the work. But at least if we can say, assuming this is the end state, here's all the things that would be true. And we wrote about it in a more press release, more narrative format. One, now that helps us all get on the same page, regardless of how we operate best. Some people may love spreadsheets and bullet points. And some people just want you to write on a whiteboard and it's all disconnected and colorful. But this really helps bring the team together so that there's a shared understanding from the very beginning. Am I getting that right?
You're getting completely right, right? So the press release is you paint the picture of the future and the FAQ answer questions about that picture. And it answers questions in two different ways. One is you can state facts. You can say 37% of veterinarians have this problem, which is a fact that you research and discover. And you have other things there that might be opinions or assumptions, right? Or hypotheses as well. Mm-hmm. And you're making it clear that you don't know. Right. What you don't want to do is to present elements on the frequently asked questions as being fact when they are just your intuition. Right. So you might say, hey, I want to launch a new podcast because I believe that people would love to hear about whatever topic. Can you go beyond just that? Can you do some research to back it up, to find the data, to discover, at least interview a few folks to say, like, how would you think about a podcast about this? Is this a problem that you have? Would you be interested? So it helps you develop an idea in a more robust and structured way until you go and execute on that with confidence.
Gotcha. Where are you generating these questions? Is that on the, we'll just, lack of a better term, the project team, whatever you're coming up with? Is that on them to go, okay, here's all the questions in this press release we haven't answered that we would hope to discover, discern, learn something over the course of this project? This is this needs to go on the FAQ list because we're going to need to answer this either for ourselves or for the stakeholders. Like maybe it's higher ups, maybe it's a board, maybe it's the customers themselves. And it actually will be on an FAQ on a website or something. Or are you advocating for, hey, go out and find focus groups and find this and go here. And that's where you generate these questions that go in the FAQs. Where is that sourced?
Yeah, so it's a combo of things. First of all, like in the book, I give more than 40, 50 questions that you can draw from to include on your FAQ. So the questions are typically you start from what problem are we trying to solve? You might have a question is, who is our main customer? another question might be, how are they solving this problem today? So you start with a few well-established questions, but then you might have questions that are very specific to your project, right? That you can't like simply draw from a set of questions that already exist. But you include those questions, and the questions are not so much the details of this project. They are the high-level vision and strategy questions, right? So you don't want to have a question that is like, what is the sign-up flow or the registration flow for a new user? You don't need to do that. Of course, unless there is a strategic element there.
That's right. In the weeds of things. Okay.
Yes. So you want to keep it high level to understand really the problem of the customer, how much they suffer with that problem, meaning the importance and severity of the problem, because you don't want to solve a problem for a customer that is not important to them, right? Because then they don't care about it.
Yeah. You don't want to be a hammer looking for a nail.
Yes. So you want to ensure that you understand that space. And every once in a while, you're going to figure out that your initial idea has moved to a new idea because you discover more things. And you're like, oh, wait a second. The problem that we were thinking about solving is not as important as this other problem that we just learned. So let's pivot our idea to be this one. So you just save yourself 6 months, 12 months, 18 months of a dead end, right? Just because you had an assumption that was wrong.
Yeah. People are your largest line item on any budget, typically. The misallocation of human capital is one of the things that can totally wreck a company. Now, obviously, there are very large entities like Amazon, which can absorb those mistakes, but they're in a rare class, right? Along with probably a few others. So what do we do when, let's say, we wrote the press release, and is there some sort of approval flow or ceremony to move from press release, from PR to FAQ? I'll start.
Yeah, so it's the other way around that you actually write this document. I know the document starts with a press release and then has the frequently asked questions, but the right approach is you start from the questions first. Questions like, what problem are we solving? Who is our customer? How are they solving today? What is our solution? How customers are going to find our solution? What do we need to execute on this solution? What we are not doing, right?
For example, you might say you just write an idea down and then you try to filter it through these questions next. It's really, we want to do something. So I guess, where's the genesis then of the FAQ? Do we use this in our like quarterly objectives, like OKRs? Are we using this to help write that for new projects? Is it for annual planning? Where's the genesis of the idea that says, all right, we have something now, let's go to the FAQ, and if we feel good there, then we'll write the press release. How does that flow happen then?
Yeah, so it's both. It's quarterly planning, annual planning, or even ad hoc, right? So what you want to have is a spark of an idea. And there are really three types of sparks that people get. One is they identify a customer, let's say veterinarians, for example, and we want to solve problems for veterinarians. But they don't know what problem they have and what solution they need. So you need to go and talk with them. That's the first type of spark that you get. And often that happens because you're already on that space, like you're already serving that customer, and what else can we do for them? The second problem is when sometimes you are the customer or you're so involved with that customer that you already identified a problem, right? And let's say the problem is bookkeeping. And like you go, let's validate that this customer has a problem with bookkeeping. Let's see if there are more customers that have problem with bookkeeping. And then let's find a solution for that. And the third one is sometimes you have an idea for a product, but you need to verify there is a problem and a customer for it, right? Yeah. Sometimes it's like a technology thing, like you see, oh, wouldn't it be cool if you build this? But before you go build it, like validate if there is a problem for someone and who is that person or their business that might have that problem. So you start from this opportunity space that you don't have all the answers. And then you start writing the FAQs to help elaborate. And then you write the press release. And then you do a review with everyone that's going to be involved in the project. And finally, you make a decision about it.
Gotcha. And it sounds like that last spark would be that ad hoc, that visionary entrepreneur who's just, I saw something. It made me think this. And now it's time to go see if this is worth pursuing or if I just had indigestion.
But a lot of people just jump right in, right? They don't even think much. They're like, let's go execute. Take a time to breathe and see if there is coherence on that story.
Gotcha. Because this sounds like a point of like intentional friction, if you will, to, hey, we don't need a ton, but we need enough to make sure that we don't go 100 miles an hour in the wrong direction. 100 miles an hour is fine, but if you went this way instead of that way, that could be costly. There's real cost, opportunity cost, all these other things.
And there's two things to that, right? One is going the wrong direction. Is the other one is different people on the team going in different directions. So you want
like
everyone.
The decision's already been made and they're going like this.
Yes, because they haven't aligned, right? And each one is thinking slightly different solutions and slightly different about the problem and the customer and why they're doing. So what you end up happening is like in the months and years to come, you find so much misalignment and so much frustration. And usually stems from a lack of vision and strategy. So each one is making up as they go.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, I can see that. Can you share a little bit from your time at Amazon as you were coming in to seeing this? Like what, obviously now you're very intimately familiar with the concepts and the practices and the rituals and all of that stuff, but take me back to when you're joining up, and obviously you're a seasoned entrepreneur and you've read and you've studied and you've seen all what works, what doesn't, different strategies and methods, but you encounter this approach. What was that like and what made it stand out so much compared to a lot of the other things you had seen be successful? You said you've helped with numerous startups, right? You've seen a ton. What was this doing inside of Amazon that made it stand out to you that when you encountered it, you go, whoa, there's something different here?
Yes, absolutely. And what Amazon does is unique. I never seen anything like it in any of the companies that I work or even the startups that I founded. So the first few times you experience this process is awkward. It's so unfamiliar, like you're reading a document. So at Amazon, you sit for the first 20 minutes of a meeting, reading a document in silence, right? And everyone is reading that PRFAQ. And then after everyone read it, then the conversation starts. So it's almost helps level the playing field. So everyone knows what we're talking about and everyone has the right context for conversation. Mm-hmm. So the first few times it feels like very weird, but then you start to realize, oh wow, the conversations are so much more meaningful than the typical conversations when you have PowerPoint driving the presentation, driving the meeting. In a PowerPoint world, it's like someone is pitching an idea and they put a PowerPoint with some slides, some screenshots, some diagrams, and people go asking questions. And it never feels like that is there is enough depth into that conversation, right? With the document, at least you have a coherent story there. And now you can point the flaws at the story to make it better. Your goal is not to undermine a story, but to identify how can we make the story better and work together on it. So it's very collaborative. And PowerPoint is not collaborative. Like when you have presentations, it usually is a one-way street. I'm pushing information to you. So that was very different. And I felt that was really magical for this type of decision.
I've heard Bezos talk a couple times when he's interviewed, and I heard him mention about we spend the first 20, 30 minutes reading over a memo. He just called it a memo. And no PowerPoint allowed thing. I didn't realize until just now that was the PRFAQ document was what he was referring to. So that's some
PRFAQ
insider.
Is one of those documents. Amazon has more than 10 documents for different things. So PRFAQ is a forward-looking document, right? So it's a document that
only used in certain meetings.
Yes, when you are deciding what to do in the future. Now, Amazon has other documents, for example, to review how a business is doing right now. And you read the document to understand, like, how was the last week or the last month of performance on this product or this business or this program. So Amazon has several shapes of documents. And the PRFQ is the one that I was fascinated about because as a founder, entrepreneur, you're always this, you need tools to decide what to do next, right? What to build.
Right.
So the PRFQ worked really well for that.
Gotcha. And I love what you said about it. It allows for a more deep and meaningful discussion, which Also sounds like your book and this framework has an opinion on what makes a good meeting. And obviously this is something I deal with my clients, is I have, at least for certain types of meetings on certain cadences, I have agendas and why they work and why other styles don't. But principally, I have my own beliefs about what meeting time should be, should mean, what the results of a great meeting should be regardless. Can you talk a little bit about the opinion that PRFAQs or even just you have about the purpose, the true purpose of meetings and how we get more out of those?
Yeah, absolutely. I even wrote a long article about meetings 4 years ago, 5 years ago, before I even started learning about PRFAQs. But you are right. There are many problems with meetings. Well, the two biggest one is often people get to meetings after another meeting. So they don't have the mental capacity or space to switch contexts as efficiently. Mm-hmm. And that derails the meeting. The second thing is each person in a meeting, they are starting from a different perspective on what we are having a discussion about. And that can cause a lot of misalignment because people are like, some people read the, whatever was discussed in the previous meeting or the pre-reading materials. Some people didn't. And you're starting from this weird place and you're always having to course correct halfway through the meeting. So great meetings, they have outcomes. That's what you want out of a meeting. And the PRFAQ, it's not for all meetings and not for all projects, but in the context of a PRFAQ, what you want is at the end of a PRFAQ review session, you do the 20 minutes reading and 40 minutes of debate and discussion. What you want is you want to get out of there with enough feedback for the idea to have evolved into a better idea, right? For you to leave with more information that you can incorporate in the document. And then you have certain meetings that are decision meetings, right? So you have the 20-minute reading and then followed by debate and decision. At the end of the meeting, you're going to say, let's pursue this idea or let's find more information or this is a good idea, but let's not do it now, right? Not a good idea at all. And you say, we're not going to pursue it. So that would be the good outcome of a decision meeting.
I really like that. I'm of a similar mind, like decisions should be made in meetings. Otherwise, if it's just, I forgot exactly how you put it when you were talking about PowerPoints, but just information is being pushed to you, right? Just shoved at your face. When really, if we can all get on the same page, somewhat literally, then we can have that debate. And I do want to have my own opinions about this, but one of my core values is confrontation. So I don't know if I'm the best person to talk about it, but can you talk a little bit about, we've written the PRFAQ document, right? And you're saying that we would create this document, it sounds like collaboratively, right? Like whoever the project team or the senior leadership team were preparing for annual planning or quarterly planning or whatever. And we have this document to look, help us look forward and evaluate options. We've read through it and now we're debating. How do you define and even teach, whether it's clients or just interested readers or listeners or maybe friends, how do we debate in such a way that outcome you talked about, which is we end that 40-minute session, the debate part of the meeting, with a better idea, or we've actually picked and evaluated. We said, these three ideas move forward, these other two do not. How do we debate in such a way that we can have those, what I would consider positive outcomes inside of a 40-minute window?
Yeah, I even have a couple chapters about this in the book, right? So one of the chapters that I wrote is to teach people how to provide feedback. And when you're sitting in a meeting and you're reviewing a PRFAQ, how do you provide the most value possible? So two ways that you can think about that is you have a specific role. Maybe you're a designer, maybe you're a product manager or an engineer, right? If you are invited to that meeting, you should represent your role, not someone else's role. So if you're an engineer and you're providing feedback on the design or the user experience, it's not as useful as an engineer providing feedback as an engineer, right? On the feasibility of the idea. So that's one aspect that you can provide in a meeting. The second one is You need to understand if you are converging on an idea or if you are diverging into opportunity. And what I mean by that is there are meetings where they are more like ideation, like they are brainstorming. Let's think about three different ways. Right. Let's think about four different ways. And this type of meetings often get confused. So if you're in a meeting where you're trying to make a decision, it's not a meeting where you're trying to find more opportunities. You're trying to evaluate if the current opportunity is good enough or not, right? If the ROI of that opportunity is correct. You might even have other ideas that you can save for later. But what often happens is like you are almost done with a project or a PRFAQ and you are 2 weeks in and someone's, oh, how about we do this other way? That is completely different, right? That is not as useful anymore and it's not the time to do that, right? You should have done it on a different occasion or maybe even offline. So you have to contain your meeting team to help them understand like what we're doing here. Are we making a decision? Are we exploring opportunities? So I want as many ideas as possible, or we want to eliminate opportunities and let's pick the best one, right? Or evaluate the one that we have on the table.
But that's stated upfront and it possibly even in the press release or anywhere inside of the PRFAQ document of, and what we want to accomplish is decide on the best one to move forward or discover collaboratively how we could make this better and what might be missing.
Yes.
Because you may have been an individual researching all of this and you're meant to bring it back to the team, it sounds. Could also have been a small subsection of a larger team that's bringing this into the larger department or something like that. Is that right?
Yeah, more or less. Like you need a project leader. Like you need someone that owns the PRFAQ from beginning to end. And this person
is they're helping collect.
Yes, correct. Oh. And it needs to be someone of authority as well. It can't just be someone that you delegate to, right? You want someone who is actually going to be directly involved on that project in executing that project. So it should be someone that could be a director or a product manager or a VP, that it is the person driving it, right? Because they're going to have to balance the feedback from multiple people, the conflicting feedback from multiple people. And they need to make a decision about it and say like, yeah, I listened to this concern from the engineering team, but we decided to go in this direction, right? Because that would be better for our customers or for the business. So you need to incorporate all those feedbacks into the document. But you are including everyone in helping think through it and collecting feedback. So at the end, you almost don't need a buy-in process. You don't need to go around and get people to support the project because they were part of developing the project.
Gotcha. There's a saying which I've heard attributed to Sam Walton, who founded Walmart, which is if people can weigh in, they can buy in, or they will buy in. That sounds very similar to what you're doing, which is you've allowed everybody to contribute from the beginning almost. And so by doing so, they are now more bought in because they've already contributed in the early phases. Some of what you're saying reminds me of, and this may just be a recency bias because I've been doing a lot of work with the 6 types of working genius from Patrick Lencioni, who wrote the 5 dysfunctions of a team and the ideal team player and a bunch of other things. But he talks about the 3 phases of work with the working genius of ideation, activation, and implementation. And a lot of what you're describing makes me think of those first 3 steps, which take you through ideation and the first step into activation, which is discernment of picking the right thing. But understanding in meetings where we don't need because those 6 types take you through all the stages of work that gets done: wonder, invention, discernment, galvanizing, enablement, and tenacity. And Pat will talk about the fact that because he's ideation, he's always big ideas, big ideas, is that one of the most frustrating things he can do is go to a team that's heavy into implementation. So that's also the phase of work we're in, implementation, and go, what? Like a week before something's due. What if we considered this? Like you're taking your genius and you're implement and you're activating it in the wrong sense. But if we get clear on that in the meeting or in this document or something else, we can avoid a lot of that yo-yo that keeps projects in limbo for years or months and become far more expensive. So it sounds like there's also, with this process, this framework, a little bit of intentional friction to make sure we go in the right direction from the get-go, and we don't waste thousands or hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars doing something that doesn't pan out, but also helps us stay on track once we've decided what track we're on. Is that, are you seeing that result?
Yes, 100%. I even have a little diagram drawing on the book about this idea of if you're not aligned on the beginning, on the direction that you're going, you end up bouncing on the walls back and forth. So you become much slower on how you do things. And that comes from the form of people are not agreeing on the direction they're going, or people keep changing their minds, or one person changes their mind and don't tell everyone else, and then it derails the project. So you need more meetings to bring the project back together. This is all a lack of like good vision and good strategy early on, right? So the more you can get people to understand where we're going and why we're going that direction, the faster they can move, right? Because they are on the right track then, and they can just accelerate and do, you know, what they do best.
Yeah. Now, on that maintaining alignment, which, by the way, what you're saying about the bouncing, where if we start not totally aligned, then it can only get worse from here. I remember reading James Clear's Atomic Habits, which I think is sold like 2 billion copies. I'm just kidding. That's a lot of copies.
Everyone has.
Everybody. I think every child born in the U.S. is handed one along with their social security number. But he said, just to give you an idea of how big of a difference like 1% or 1 degree can make, is a plane taking off from Los Angeles, a 1 degree shift in where it's aimed is the difference between landing in New York and landing in Washington, D.C. And that's a matter of hundreds of miles of difference, right?
Yeah.
But it just shows you when you're misaligned at the beginning, what he was using it positively, I'm using it negatively. Sorry, James. But I really like what you're saying about how important that alignment is. Now, tell me, how often is this document reviewed, updated? Is it really just a beginning of work and the debate and decide? And then it's, and then are other systems or processes or rituals of project management kick in? Or do we bring the PRFAQ back and say, hey, we've learned more, we're updating this now, and that project leader, that team leader, that the person with decision-making authority, do they somehow bubble it back up? Or is it like, no, this helped us get us started, we've moved on to other tools now? Can you speak to that?
Yeah, absolutely. You definitely should start with a PRFAQ on your initiative. But since the PRFAQ is vision and strategy, you would only update the document if there is an update to the vision and strategy. So maybe you did discover something, like maybe the problem wasn't as important, maybe the customer moved on, maybe the solution has changed. So in that case, you would update the PRFAQ, or maybe even create a whole new PRFAQ because you're changing the vision strategy. But otherwise, it should be something that lasts a little bit of time, right? Maybe 12 or 18 months. You don't want to have an organization or a product that change vision strategy every quarter. Like, that makes no sense.
You'd be all over the place.
Which means like you haven't found the direction yet, which is fine too, right? Maybe you're on the exploration phase. But once you have that PRFAQ, use that just as a reference, right? And you move on to have OKRs and product requirement documents and project management artifacts like Gantt charts or roadmaps or user stories, whatever you're going to do. So the PRFAQ feeds into everything else that's going to happen later. And these other things change more often, right? But not the PRFAQ. However, the PRFAQ continues to be a useful document for new employees or for people to reinforce the direction that we were going early on and understand if something has deviated. And maybe it's time to rewrite the PRFAQ because the strategy has changed.
Yeah, I could definitely. I love that you mentioned the like a new employee, because obviously if it's a larger initiative, 12 to 18 months, right? Like we may have hired people, swap people out, do something, and we need to get them up to speed and to pass that threshold of contribution to where they're now value add. Because initially anybody's like value subtract, because they're needing to download and get things from everybody before they can meaningfully contribute. But this sounds like this document could help with that. How often is, what is the, I don't know whether you want to call it the habit, the ritual, the use case. How often are we referring back? Is this in, do we keep the PRFAQ document central, like it's present in every project meeting? Hey, we're talking about this. That's not what we put here. So either we need to change what we're doing or this needs to change, and it needs Correct. To be based on the data that was compiled in the FAQ. If we have new data, let's talk about it, right? So is it always showing back up, or is it like it served its purpose and when we have a flag, we might need to go back to it? Or is it proactively put front and center in project discussions?
Yeah. So I think if you have a small disagreement between the direction of the project and what is on the document, you might decide not to update the document, but you have to ensure that everyone understand. So it's almost like you want to add an addendum to the document, right? Whatever the repository is that you're using. But most of the time you have to be careful because people read the document and they assumed that is the direction that you're going. So if there is any change and the document is not updated, it's a recipe for misalignment, right? So you have to be careful there. At the same time, you don't want to keep updating the document all the time. I would compare this to your company values, right? Your organization values. Like if you're changing your organization values every 6 months, like you have no values, right?
I'm going to clip this and I'm using it in my next talk. That's
yeah, exactly. Like you want your values to maybe last 3 to 5 years and like update it, you know, a small amount. But your strategy should last, you know, a year or 2 years, even for
a meaningful amount of time.
Yes. Right. So you have to be careful there. If you are making a lot of updates to the PRFAQ all the time, it might be a sign that you're discussing tactical problems, not strategical problems, right? Yes. The technology that you're using, the process, the tool, the vendor, like all the stuff, get rid of all that, right? Think about what is the important stuff really that you're doing for the customer here.
There's so much I love about this, and I think we could keep going on, and I'd probably just dive in, and it would be questions no one else would care about, but I would because I'm a nerd. But this reminds me a lot of the one-page roadmap from the System and Soul framework that I use with my clients to set company vision, culture, strategy, like where are we going? And that's a document we don't update all that often, but it is a thing that I tell them, you shouldn't be changing this all the time. It's a bit like the press release of this company you're building. And it's just, it's fascinating to me. There's so much about what you're saying that I like, I agree with. And now my brain's spinning with some sessions I have coming up. I was like, I might actually want to reference this and figure this out. Yes. So we may need a call after this. But if somebody is listening and they're like, all right, I love what this Marcelo guy is talking about. This sounds like this could be really helpful for bringing alignment to my team. I've struggled to get everybody on the same page, literally, figuratively, however, and I want to get the ball rolling. I don't use a whole lot of frameworks or tools or things like this, but this sounds like it could help me. What would you tell that person to do to take a baby step in the next 24 hours, spending little to no money, to take that baby step towards this better alignment, better projects that we've been talking about?
Yeah, I think the easiest way is go to the book website and find the link for the examples of PRFAQs that I have there. So you can read that and digest that information. And each of these PRFAQs is going to take you less than 20. There are four there. Each one of them is going to take you less than 20 minutes to read. So you get a sense for what this is, right? And then on the website as well, I have articles and other resources and templates for people to download, in addition to being able to buy the book as well. That's a good place to get started and get a sense of what this is.
Gotcha. And that's the PRFAQ. I just said all the letters. But if you're super cool, you say perfect, because that's I'm trying to trademark that. But theprfaq.com. Go there and check out those resources that Marcella just mentioned. Marcella, the book available on the website, I'm assuming on Amazon.
Yeah.
And other places fine books are sold. Is there any other way, like if somebody wanted to know more about you and your work and what you're doing to evangelize and help share the good word of the PRFAQ, where should they connect with you or reach out to you if they have questions?
Yeah, if you go to the website, you're going to find links for all my social media profiles and even my email address is there as well. And people are happy to connect me that way.
All right. And we'll have the links to what we just discussed along with your LinkedIn profile down there in the show notes. So if you're listening to this, driving down the road, when you get to a stopping spot, you can pop in there, send him a connection request, and I'm sure he'd love to connect with you and learn a bit more. Marcelo, thank you so much. I'm really excited about your work and the good you're doing in the world. And now I'm excited to learn more because I think that this could be helpful to me personally as well as helping my clients. So thank you so much. I hope to have you on again in the future. Maybe you'll have some updated research or you'll be on book like 3, 4, or 5 or something like that. I feel like you've got a bunch of books in you. So thank you so much to you, the listener. Thank you so much for staying tuned today and listening to this conversation. We sincerely, I say we, me and Marcelo, we could have this conversation without recording it and we would have had a great time and learned a lot, but we do this for you. If you enjoyed this, leave a review, rate it, subscribe, let us know what you thought about this in the comments, however you can. The more engagement it gets, the more conversations like this get in front of people like you who are on their leadership and growth journey so that they can get the help they need. And you never know, somebody may be one conversation away from getting their breakthrough and you could be a part of that. But until next time, change the way you think, you'll change the way you lead. We'll see you.